if we go back to the book of Isaiah, and if you miss an outline, there is an outline here for you. Now, we want you to know that we are in chapter 38 on the book of Isaiah. That means that we have about a year in the book of Isaiah, studying the book of Isaiah, and it is a blessing to do so. Now, let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, without your word, we have nothing to say. And without your spirit, we are helpless. So give us your word today, and let the spirit show us your way. In Jesus we pray, amen. Isaiah chapter 38, all right? Life is unpredictable enough, but if your life was shortened by 15 years or extended by 15 years, what would you say? Hezekiah, the king of Judah, suffered an unknown fatal illness. The Bible doesn't say what illness was. When he was at the prime of his life, and he was sick to the point of death. What would you do? What can you do when you are deep in trouble? When you are poor in health? And when you are all but just to die? That is the teaching here. And I learned from King Hezekiah, and I'm going to share with you what King Hezekiah did. The number one thing that Hezekiah did, knowing that he's going to die, is that he clung to the Lord. Let me read for you verse 1, 2, and 16. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Verse 2. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord. Now I want you to look in verse 16. Here's what he prayed. "O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So you will restore me and make me alive." I wrote in my paper, no second opinion. Usually when I visit people in our church who are sick and need a very serious surgery or something, my suggestion is, will you please get a second opinion before they open you up? All right? And Hezekiah, for some reason, he had no desire to have a second opinion. What he has in verse 16 tells me clearly. He says, "So you will restore me and make me alive." I think he has a great faith, don't you think? Oh, that is faith. He went to the Lord with no apologies. The Lord said, "You're going to die." And he knows the Lord is merciful and kind and gentle and wonderful. God is not your judge. God is for you if you're a child of God. And so then he went to the Lord and he said, "Lord, I want to live." So it's nothing wrong for me to pray for healing for people who are in the hospital, don't we? That's great. I have a base of a scripture that I can pray if you are at a very critical moment in your life. I can pray as the Lord, we cling to you and your mercy give life. We're not telling God what to do, but we're pleading God what to do. And that is very biblical. See, he clinged to the Lord. He consulted with not witchcraft like other kings have done. He consulted with no other doctors. He just went to the Lord and said, "Lord, I want to live, and you have my life in your hands. You do it." Will you and I do that? That's a lot of faith, don't it? That's a lot of faith. A lot of faith. In my 37 years as a pastor's life, only once in a hospital, a Greek person, somebody called me and said, "Will you come and pray in Greek for this person?" Because, and I asked permission, and the person said no. That was the first time in my life that somebody don't want God to intervene in their life. And supposed to be Greek Orthodox believers. And the nurse in the hospital was panicked. She said, what are we going to do? I said, well, we'll go in another room and pray for mercy. See? Cling to the Lord. Now remember that. Cling to the Lord. Before you go to the emergency room, before you do anything, let you or your family or those who care for you cling to the Lord. Lord, here is the case, and you have power to heal. God, here is the situation, and you have power to overcome this. Not telling God what to do, but saying, God, you can do it. There is one person that can do it, and it's God. Secondly, Hezekiah commit to the Lord. Look in chapter 38 and in verse 3. And said, remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. I don't know how many can say that. Because God is, he's not talking to you and to me. He's talking to God. And we cannot lie to God. He knows the heart. Now, I'm going to verify if this is true or not. Put one hand in Isaiah and go with me to the book of 2 Kings, which is a book of history, as you know, 2 Kings. And in the Hebrew Bible, at 13 and 14, you have 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles. 2 Kings chapter 18. And let's look in that chapter 18 in verses 5 and verse 6. Now, Hezekiah have made a statement. In the meantime, you look over there, I read again verse 3. When he prayed to God in verse 3, he said, remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth. That means he walked according to God's pattern. And then he said, and with a loyal heart. That means he did not fool around, though. He don't change his mind. He, whatever God said, he did. And have done what is good in your sight. Now, were these only words or reality? We can check history. Here it is, 2 Kings chapter 18 and verse 5. In verse 6. Talking about Hezekiah, the Bible says he trusts in the Lord God of Israel. So that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor who were before him. For he held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord hath commanded Moses. Wow. I thought, I read that in my office. And I said, Pastor Otero, that's what God requires of you as a pastor. Not to doubt the Lord. Not to cheat the Lord in doing this or the other. Just do what God wants you to do as a shepherd. You need to feed your people. And you need to care for your people. And I hope they have a good peace of mind and heart. That when some of you are sick or some of you, I'm first there. I remember walking with Pastor Brownlee in the snow in New Jersey. And people came fast to him and said, Pastor, so-and-so is in the hospital. And he tackled me. He said, I just came from there. Oh, Pastor, yeah, and I pray. He said, you got it, Gabriel? He said, before anybody else, you are the first. That's what you're surprised, but if your surgery is a 5, I'm there at 4. When the Wheeler had the surgery at 5, I was at 4 o'clock and praying with him. That's my job. And I want to, before the Lord, keep clean. And when I'm in the pulpit, I'm going to break the word of God to you because that's the only book to feed you. No other book. And so the Bible tells us that he committed himself to the Lord. He was not a fool, all right? Now, let's go to chapter 38 of Isaiah, and let's look in verse 12. Look at what happened to him. His life is cut off, is taken away, is finished. Look at what he says in verse 12. My life span is gone. I like that. My life span from the birth to the end of life is gone. You know, I'm 76 now, and my wife is right there with me. Not 76, but just a little bit. Remember, I don't say the age. All right. And sometimes we look to each other and we say to ourselves, life is almost gone. You know, amazing. I was born far away from here, all right, 13,000 miles away, born through Italians and Spaniards and Arab family. And Raquel through true Spaniards from Malaga, Spain. And here we are in America. One daughter, three granddaughters, and we look back and said, where life has gone? He said, my life span is gone, he said. Now look at what he said. Taken from me like a shepherd's tent, I have cut off my life like a weaver. He cuts me off from the loom. From day until night, you make an end of me. So he acknowledged that life is in the hands of God. I wonder how many people acknowledge that. See, that your life and my life is in the hands of God. Some people live 10 years. Others live like Dr. McCormick in our church. We're going to celebrate 95 years. By the way, pray for him. Tomorrow will be in a simple surgery, but it's just cleaning up the legs. And at 94, nothing is simple anymore. And so we're going to pray for him. But here is what it is. The Lord makes an end of your life. So you don't have to fight it. You have to accept it, all right? And in verse 15, he accepted that. Look at verse 15. Look at what the Bible said. What shall I say? This is Hezekiah saying. He has both spoken to me, and he himself has done it. I shall walk carefully all my years in the bitterness of my soul. In other words, what else I want to say? If God said that's the end of your life, you don't have to fight it. I don't like it, but that's the way it is. Nevertheless, as I said before, verse 16 revealed to us that he did not give up and die. Look at verse 16 again. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So you will restore me and make me alive. He did not say, well, start crying about the impossibilities of living. He just went to the Lord and told him the desires of his heart. In other words, he did not give up and die. He fought with the Lord in the sense of pleading the Lord for his life. Boy, that he knew his God. See, you can plead to the Lord because he loves you. He's not a judge with a finger accusing you. He loves you. You know, he said, the Lord loved you first, then you responded to his love. He loves you. For God so loved the world. In other words, God loves you. He's not your enemy. He's not with a machine gun accusing you of all the things wrong. He loves you. And you can go to him and plead to him. Hezekiah knew God. And I said, Lord, I want to know God with the intimacy, with the detail that he knows God. You know, a child who has a good father and mother, you know what a child does in kind of problem? Is run to mama or to papa. All right? Because you feel the confidence. See, that's what you being a father and a mother is very important. Very important. I hear in the news that the Democratic Party, one lady make a comment about the possible candidate for the Republican Party, his wife, about a comment. She said, she did nothing. She stayed home, she said. Oh boy, even President Obama said, wow, staying home is a great job. Even President Obama said that. You know, your life as a mother and as a father is the most important part of your life. And you ladies who stay home, I take my hat on it. And they are here, about 90% of our church who is homeschooling. Can you imagine only being a mother, but teaching the students to grow up and learn the things of life? That makes these pastors so proud. Because I have a congregation, not of 5,000, but I have a congregation of a handful of people who know the Lord and know what they have to do in life. That's my goal having accomplished. I'm the most happy man in my life because, see, I cannot obligate you to do that. I can teach you in the Bible, but it's up to the Lord to work in your heart. And I want to thank you tonight and thank those who come in the morning and so on, that may be listening at this hour in their homes. I want to thank you for assuming responsibility as God requires. And this great, great Hezekiah. Hezekiah was in love. Hezekiah knew God, and he pleaded with God. Now, verses 4, 5, and 6, we have the cry to the Lord. Now, let's go back, verse 4. Look at this. And the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, saying, and look what God said. Go and tell Hezekiah, thus said the Lord, the God of David, your father. I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will add to your days 15 years. Do you know this? I make a big circle on the words, I have seen your tears. You know, when a child cries, we men, we don't see the tears. Mothers do. A mother will see the tears of a daughter, of a son. They have that quality given by God to mamas. But we men are not just too tough to see the tears. But look at who see the tears. Look at here. He said, I have heard your prayer. And all over the book of Psalms you hear that I have heard your prayers. But only here the Bible said, I have seen your tears. Nothing. The tears. Tiny little thing here. God in heaven said, I have seen that. Nothing escape God's eyes, for good or bad. Don't ever you and I think that we're going to do something and God will not see it. Or we're going to say something and God will not hear it. Please, don't ever entertain that thought in your life if you really want to walk with God. Look at what they said. I have seen your tears. Nothing escapes God's eyes. Now, complain accomplish nothing, but prayer get result. Look at verse 6. I will deliver you and this city from the hands of the king of Assyria, and I will defend the city. Now, God's talking. Hezekiah did not complain. That takes away the word that some people said to me. And I know in pain, they say to me, why this happened to me? I have a family here in church that they have a car accident with the children. The niece died. The daughter was a spare, untouched. And I have them in my office. And the family asked me the question, why? Like, I'm God. And the reason is that here is... The attitude of a Christian is not to complain, but to plead, not to complain. And because Hezekiah did not complain, verse 6 is a real picture. It says, I will deliver you and this city from the hands of the king of Assyria. I will do this, and I will defend the city. I will intervene because you do not complain. Complain, do not get any result. Trust, get the results. All right? Now, verse 7 and 8 is a confirmation always follows God's answer. Look at the confirmation, verse 7 and verse 8. And this is the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do things, these things which he has spoken. Behold, I will bring the shadow of the sandal which has gone down with the sun on the sandal of Ahab 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees on the dial by which it has gone down. Now let me see what happened. And you know, if you go to Alexandria University in Egypt and you click on the studies, they record that one day the sun stopped over the east. Well, actually stopped over the whole world. What God did is 6 o'clock, and God said, okay, will be 10 to 6. I remember preaching in the seminary, and I said to the student body, we were a lot of elderly when we went to seminary people, and I told the young people, now if you don't believe God, here's my watch, move this watch 10 minutes backwards, and I'll watch the sun and see if they move 10 minutes backwards. See, that's what God did. And God, it seems to me, why God do this to Hezekiah? Because he maybe was a skill in measuring the sun and measuring all the science that refers to light. And God spoke in his language, and he said, I'm going to confirm this, and this is what I'm going to do so that you will know this. Now, you and I will not know this, but Hezekiah will. So God will do in your life something that you will notice. God is not going to move 10 degrees the sun. I don't need it. I maybe do not perceive it myself. But Hezekiah did, because he was an expert in that science. And so God's going to work in your life and give you a peace of mind in reference to something that you will say, boy, God is in this. You will know that God is working with you. So the chapter really teaches a very simple lesson, but a very deep lesson. Life is God's gift. Life is God's gift. Things in life can go wrong. People can get sick. And answers are never enough. One minute, you're in the throne, and the next, you are on the bed. I tell you one thing. I finished this study, and I said, Lord, I just came from the gym for an hour and a half of working. Sometimes I go to the gym, sometimes I go in the mountain. I live right there in Lake Anderson, so it's a beautiful place to walk. And I said, Lord, thank you for the gift of life. I see people walking with a cane. By the way, the guy with the dog said hello to you. When Jacqueline did not work, she walked with me. I cannot keep up with her. She's 23. But we have a fellow that comes with a little dog, and we say hello. I said, Lord, thank you for the gift of life. Long or short, I'm moving. I have no pain except the pain that I put in my body for going beyond the limit. And so I'm grateful. I was grateful. I said, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for vitamins. Thank you for these. Thank you for the other. But thank you that I'm alive and I'm very active at my age. Thank you. I never thank the Lord in the way I did, all because here is an example of Hezekiah. Don't take life for granted. Don't take life for granted. A big truck driver in McDonald's on Thursday, when I was sharing the Bible with some people, he came and told me, I work for my life, and I want to be strong and work. I said, please, please, I said, it's good what you do to provide for your family, but don't take life for granted. And the man looked at me and said, you're right. I have a friend who used to work with me. He's 38, and he is most dying in the hospital with a heart attack. So he was sober. So I was able to get from the Carter Bible and our famous tract that we use. And I said, now read this. That will make you strong. Are you ready if death knocks on your door? I don't mean ready physically or mentally. Are you ready spiritually? is your life at peace with God. There is only one way to have peace. It's the empty cross. Because the one who is on the cross is at the right hand of the Father in heaven, interceding for you. Take us to be humble and to say, God, forgive me of my sins. And then the peace of God will fill your heart. May God teach us a lesson tonight. That even a king's life was not secure, was in God's hand. Thank you, Father, for the great lesson you taught us tonight. Thank you for knowing the life belonged to you. Thank you for the lesson that Hezekiah brings to our life. We are not in control of life. You are. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for loving us in a way, in such a way, that we do not understand. So, Father, help us to use our life to the very end, to your glory. In Jesus we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a good, wonderful week. And Wednesday night, we meet for prayer here at church at 7 o'clock. God bless you.